الله أكبر الله.
Enemies approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Expecting me to fall. I will not give in. I am not. So much when I've had enough, it's not in my blood to just lay down. I will hold my breath.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to the Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Well, so far so good. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Monday, the 5th of December, and we're going to try this again. We found out, according to a faithful podcast listener here, that we need a hard in this computer. So that's what we're going to work towards here pretty quick. Let me see. I guess I better check and see before I get all excited here. Find out if we have sound out there. So let me see a show of hands who can hear me out there. If I get one hand up, that means everybody should be able to hear me. If I get no hands, then we're out of luck. Let's see here. Right, let's try it that way. Okay, and we're waiting. Let's see, it looks good over there. Well, let me just go on with it here. See what's happening. Okay, I guess we got sound there. Okay. In Austin, Texas. Oh, we got a listener out there on... how do you say that anyway? X-I-A-A. I don't know how you say that, how you pronounce that, but that's a good app. I've got it on my phone too, and we just got a listener. In fact, Susie B was out there, just mentioned that we could, she could hear us on that. So, all right, Austin, we're just getting started here. This is, I've been saying this since probably. I don't know, 2010, 2009, something like that. And yeah, Minnie, there'll always be a little bit of lag. We've never been able to defeat the lag on. That's a shoutcast or a Vozcast deal there. There's always anywhere from, you know, 10, 15 seconds up to a couple of minutes. So it's aggravating, but that's the way it is. Ever since 2009 or somewhere in that area, actually it was back probably when I was on AM radio, I kept asking myself and asking the listeners, you know, how much longer can we put up with this? When is this going to stop? How much more, how much farther can this go? And evidently there's no limits to it. And evidently there is no limits to our patience and our kind-heartedness because we're not doing anything. But this right here, if this isn't right out of 1938 Germany, I don't know what is. In Austin, the police chief there has come up with an ingenious plan to curb future shootings, I guess. And his idea is to tell the cops about your friends or family members that love guns, especially if they hate someone. Alrighty then. Just this this guy. I don't know why they haven't voted him out. I don't know how they run him out of town with pitchforks and torches yet. But in order to tell on your friends, what's going to happen here, and it's already happened in a few places. It's not just in Austin. But what's going to happen is somebody's going to make somebody mad. There's going to be a lover's quarrel in some degree. And all they got to do is call the cops and say, this guy over here has got a bunch of guns, and he hates somebody, and you need to go take him down. And according to this police chief here in... Austin, that's all it's going to take. So, I don't know how well this is going to work out in Texas, since everybody in Texas has a gun, just about. So, it should be interesting. I just can't believe that we've gone that far with this. And if that's not enough for you, this was, I saw this on I think it was on Facebook. But Hillary said that America, now this was a couple of months ago, two or three months ago, but she said that Americans will have to change their religious convictions and cultural codes so that they can pass laws. And I think I actually have a video of that, but I don't have it on the on this computer. I'm looking at it on another computer. So, she said that... let me get back up here. She said that convictions and belief systems of citizens should not stand in her way. Cultural codes and religious beliefs have to change. She made comments in April of last year at the 6th annual Women in the World Summit. She's not only talking about foreign nations, her views are extreme, and she wants those extreme views to dominate. Instead of worrying about, you know, this is people are worried about what Trump might do. How about we worry about what Hillary is? I'm still a little concerned. I don't know what's going to go on here on December 19th. I'm still a little bit concerned about that. I don't know if there's any reason to be or not. I don't understand everything I know about this Electoral College. I thought once the vote was over, I thought it was done. But apparently, it goes beyond my comprehension here. So, if there's any truth to this stuff that's going on December 19th, then I'd say we probably ought to stock up on beans, bullets, and band-aids here pretty quick, because it may get pretty Western out there. So, if I'm gonna try to do a little study now. Maybe one of y'all knows about how this works, but it's more than a little concerning to me. The Tim Kaine, also, who claims to be personally against abortion, has agreed to repeal the Hyde Amendment in exchange for the vice president position. Now this is old news, but it's on the same story there. The Hyde Amendment is a provision that they brought out in 1976 that bans the use of federal money for abortion services. So the Rolex says there's not anything to worry about. So Rolex, it's on you, brother. If Hillary gets in there, I'm gonna hunt you down. I'm taking you at your word. So, and I, you know, my gut feeling says not to worry about it too much. I just keep seeing stuff out there, and I guess it's just the dangers of being on Facebook. Let's get away from Hillary. I can't stand this. I'm gonna save that for Amy. That's a pretty good story. The I shouldn't laugh. This is not funny. It's there was a deputy in Pasco County that accidentally shot her finger over the weekend while wrestling with a pit bull in Hudson, Florida. Police got a call. The dog reportedly attacked a homeless man. The deputies got there. They tried to talk to the dog's owner. The dog broke free from the leash and lunged at a female deputy. As the deputy tried to back away from the animal, it bit her pants leg, causing her to trip and fall. During the time, the deputy fired her gun and grazed her finger. And that's something that, it's not a matter of, you know, how stupid she is or anything. Those are the kind of things that a lot of people don't train for. And that is close contact shooting, you know, pushing somebody away from you and shooting at the same time, maybe shoving somebody hard in the chest to push them away, and then shooting them from a close contact position. That's a very real danger there, of shooting yourself in the hand while you're trying to, you know, while you're scuffling with somebody. So luckily she just grazed a finger, so it's not a life-threatening problem or going to ruin a hand or anything, but they, I guess they got it all on her body cam footage and everything too. So. But that's something that we, several different things that we do in our more advanced classes is to teach people to, to deal with that support hand when you're in a close contact struggle with someone and try to avoid shooting it. So, speaking of classes, we've got a class coming up on the 17th in Snowflake. This is the third such class that we've done over in Snowflake in the last couple of months, and one of them here in Sholo. We also have that's in the works to do one in the Albuquerque area and also in Phoenix. And those will be coming up probably in January. So if you're out and about and close to one of these places, we'll watch our website and it'll be on there. This is the Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training class. I've told you all about it, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on it in here. But it seems to be pretty popular right now, more so than since it's wintertime. Nobody wants to get out and work in the snow and the cold. I don't know how cold it's been for y'all, but we've had some pretty chilly weather around here. It's nice right now. It's real nice. But what was it, a week ago, a week and a half ago, I guess, we got a little snow, and it got down to 11, 12 degrees at night, pretty fresh. But next few days is going to be really nice around here. So supposed to get up in the mid-40s during the day and down to the upper 20s, lower 30s at night. So for December, that's pretty nice for this area. So far, we're not getting the moisture that we desperately need around here. So we'll see what this winter has to bring. We thought there was going to be a big cold snap coming in here in the next few days, but evidently not going to be happening. All right. There's, hang on one second. Let me get my crystal ball fired up. You know, I think I need a new hard drive in my crystal ball, too, because it ain't working right either. Doesn't seem to be anything working right now. Doc, you'll like this one. There was a NYPD. The veterans there want the same pistols that the rookies are getting issued right now. The veterans, the older cops, are using Glock 17s. And, the older ones are carrying Glock 19s. The newer officers coming in are getting the Gen 4 Glock 17s. And a lot of the officers want to upgrade to that newer 17, but they're going to have to pay $525 to do it themselves. So the older cops are a little bit ticked off about that, and new recruits are issued a duty pistol for free once they're sworn in. They have the choice of carrying a Glock 17, Glock 19, or a SIG P226. Nobody seems to want the 226. It's all about the Glock right now. Well, it says right there, it seems that most now are picking the Glock 17. So, anyway, kind of interesting story there. But I figured that would tickle Doc. Another officer said here, first one said it's the ergonomics of this gun that makes it a better gun. Well, I don't know that the ergonomics of a factory Glock are all that great, but this guy seems to think they are. But another one says that it's if the Glock 17 can help us shoot better, that increases our safety. I personally believe the department should help out in paying for the new gun, or at least provide an even swap. Not everybody has $525 on hand to make a purchase like that. That to me is, that's a training issue. What do you say to people like that? If the Glock 17 will help us shoot better. And this is the reason that I took off with our wild and crazy stuff here a few years ago and was shooting at, 200, 300, 400, 500 yards with the compact Glocks and the subcompact Glocks, and just to show you, it's not the gun will it'll go wherever you drive it to. If you can handle your end, the gun will do fine. We're talking about the shooting that they're doing here, anywhere from close contact to what, 25 feet maybe or something in extreme situations. Once in a while they might get a little bit more than that, but on the average it's probably less than 5 yards. So I'm not convinced that the not only I'm not convinced, I don't believe it for a damn minute that the Glock 17 is going to help you shoot any better at 25 feet. When I hit a 4 foot square plate 7 out of 9 times at 500 yards with the smallest Glock made, or well, it was back then anyway. So I think it's just a matter of training here. This is the same department that we did a study on here. What, 2006, 2007, somewhere in there, that said that NYPD's hit ratio for 0 to 2 yards, 0 to 2 yards, that's 6 feet away. From 0 to 6 feet away, hit ratio was 51%, or 51%. So, I don't know that the Glock 17 is going to make that any better. We'll find out, I guess. We'll see how they do. Surprise, surprise.
Try.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. There's one more little thing on here on this deal with the New York Police Department. They had... It's funny that they said they had the Glock 17, but they only let them carry 15-round magazines in them. So they're only allowed to carry 15. And the cop says that defies common sense. Officers may need those rounds if they find themselves in an active shooter situation like Dallas or Orlando. And I would say that the same applies to us. Why do they want us to? New York was the SAFE Act that limited people to 7 rounds. And they forgot to exempt cops. Then they had to rewrite it and change everything there so the cops could carry more than 7 rounds. So I don't know why I haven't been keeping up with any other changes on that to see what's going on. I don't really care what happens in New York, but... I guess I do too, because all that cancer spreads in New York, California, whatever, spreads from both directions. Sooner or later, it gets to us. Anyway, this is kind of an interesting story. We had a mom and dad here in Utah thought their kids were acting, or their son was acting a little weird, and then all of a sudden they found a couple of guns missing. So they rushed right on down to the school. Just about the time they went in there, they heard a gunshot. And so they went in, no telling how much worse it could have been if they hadn't been. Apparently nobody was injured. But 15-year-old kid of theirs had a long black trench coat carrying 2 guns, a 9mm and a 12-gauge shotgun. Walked into the classroom with 26 students in it and teacher and fired a single shot into the ceiling. This must have been with a shotgun because it says leaving a hole the size of a small plate, so I doubt the 9mm did that. They said the kid pointed the gun at himself but never pointed at any of the students or staff. Immediately after the shot was fired, 911 call came into the Bountiful Police Department. But by that time, before the officer got there, the parents had already got there and disarmed the kid. Authorities figured out later that the parents said he was misbehaving behaving as in an odd manner before school that day. So no telling whether it was drugs or what, it doesn't say. But I'm glad that the... wasn't any worse than it was, and the parents were alert, paying attention to their kids, and managed to get, intervene here before anything worse happens. So that's, in a way, that's a good story, or good outcome, anyway, for what could have been a bad story. Now, here's a story you didn't hear in mainstream news too much at all. And that is Lawrence? Hang on a minute, let me get rid of this. My crystal ball's acting up. Yeah, there was a kid, 16-year-old kid, found in Lawrence, Massachusetts, beheaded, decapitated, laying on the banks of the Merrimack River. Now, we didn't hear anything about that. Now, we hear... they don't have any clues right now as to what happened with this. The family, for a while, refused to believe it. They had a hard time accepting what had happened here. But I just think it's a little strange that we didn't hear the first word about this on mainstream news media. So that's all I got to say about that. This happened to a. This just happened a couple of days ago in Cleveland. Said there's what they call preppers there, and members of a militia group. Now, that doesn't narrow it down too much. That could be anybody that has a camouflage shirt, you know, belong to a militia. But anyway, they said they belonged to a militia group known as the Three Percenters. Had several guns, other weapons and supplies stolen from their home. Said they had moved to Cleveland from New York. And she says she thinks one of the kids may have left the door unlocked. But there were 7 guns missing, 5 shotguns, a high-powered rifle, and a pellet gun. And they said they took a bug-out bag full of rice and beans, $1,000 worth of ammo, smoke grenades, 12 machetes. 12 machetes? Wow. Well-stocked on machetes. And a bulletproof vest. So they're ready for war. Well, interesting. It's, you know what I didn't tell you? A lot of you that keep up with me on Facebook already know this. And some of you may not have heard yet. I've had so much computer problems getting on and off here that I spaced this out. I'm very, very sad to say that my very good friend Bob Wright passed away here a couple of weeks ago. And he had pancreatic cancer. It hit him very, very quickly. He told me about it. I knew about it a little while before he died, and I was kind of sworn to secrecy. He didn't want everybody to know about it. But after he told me that, I don't think it was even a month until he died. And so we have lost another great patriot, probably one of the most determined, one of the few actual true militia leaders in the country. He's been doing this hard and heavy since the early 90s. He headed up a lot of the what they call them, the Minutemen down on the border, and he was good friends with Mike Vanderbeau, who we also lost this year. And he never got to meet Lavoie Finicum. I'm sure they're talking about it now. But that is 3 of the strongest patriots in this country, all lost in the same year. And so were some of our I wouldn't say Lavoie was actually a leader, although a lot of people followed him and followed his style and followed his teachings. He was not a leader in that regard. He was an educator. He taught about the Constitution, taught it very, very well. If you haven't checked out, he has I don't know how many videos he's got on YouTube that are still on there. If you haven't watched any of those, I would strongly encourage you to get on there and check out some of Lavoie Finicum's videos. If you've got any questions about the federal overreach of the federal lands and all that, then go and watch some of Lavoie's videos. But it happened. Let me see here if I can find out real quick. It doesn't matter. I was just astounded that it happened so fast. I thought, with so many of these people get cancer and they drag it out for a long time, and it may be several months, might even be several years. In Mike Vanderbeau's case, he had gotten it and gotten rid of it and got it again. And it drug out for him for, 5 or 6 years, I guess. But when Bob Wright got it, it was... if you don't remember who Bob Wright is, if you're new, they had the... When we were on Just Measures, we had the Bob and Bob show for a while. Bob Wright and Bob Mitzel. And... great show, good, very, both very knowledgeable guys. But anyway, when he first told me about that, it was just, I don't think it was a month before he was gone. And I was unable to get away from here and go down to his funeral, although I did talk to the family and some of his friends down there. But that was, anyway. What in the world have we got going on here in the chat room? We got some kind of new code we're talking here. What's that? Between Rolex and Peanut Rider here, we got all kinds of weird stuff going on. All right, let's move on here. I got some cotton picking mini far behind on all my stories here for all the time that my computer was down. Hard to... This is the second story that we've had just in the last month, I think. 6 weeks, maybe. Where a Good Samaritan armed citizen was able to help a cop. Of course, this guy was also a retired police officer and also a veteran. But he was traveling in Florida in Collier County and saw that a Florida Highway Patrol had been attacked by a couple of guys. So he pulled over and got involved and wound up... It doesn't matter what the traffic stop and everything about, but eventually both of these guys attacked the trooper, and then the citizen got involved and wound up shooting one of his attacker, and I guess the other one, he had told him repeatedly to get off and leave him alone. He wouldn't do it, and so he wound up shooting him, and I guess the other one got away. And, are you off? Okay. Oh, I tell you what I was going to mention here. I think I talked about it last week, or at least I put it in the chat room last week. I am, once again, I think I'm getting out of the 44 Magnum business, and this time, I mean, I'm getting out of it completely. Dies, bullets, brass, loaded ammo, and the 44 Magnum rifle that I have, the Marlin 1894. So it's the whole thing. It's all or nothing. I'm not going to piece it out. I'm getting rid of the whole 9 yards, so I won't be tempted to do it again. So if you know anybody that's interested in that, Mountain Shooter, I had contemplated for a little while getting rid of that 527 in 7.62 with 39, but I've weighed the odds here and looked at the pros and cons of both of them. So I'm going to thin down a little bit the inventory a little bit, and the 44 Magnum got the short straw. So let's see, I'm going to save that one for, you know. There was we heard about the attack in Mountain Shooter. I'm going to try. I've got a problem right now. Mountain Shooter, for those of you not in the chat rooms, asking if I'm going to get my FFL back. I'm working on that, but the problem is I'm trying to figure out where to have the store of some kind, whether I want to do it here. You know, you cannot get your permit, your license, your FFL, until you have a license, wow, until you have an address to go with it. So, anyway, the Mountain Shooter, and I've still got another one. I've got my my 357 and my GP100. I've got a 357 Marlin and the GP100 to go with it. So that's I'm not without by any means. Matter of fact, my 357 is practically new. It probably hasn't had 500 rounds put through it, so I'm still in good shape as far as that goes. let's see. Oh, we remember the attack in Ohio State University last year, a week ago? And it's interesting. We all know about the what happened, you know, the results of that and everything, so I'm not going to go into that. But it's interesting that one of the girls that was there near the attack said they have quite a few military men in her class, and they actually got up and stood by the door and was standing guard instead of crawling under the desk with everybody else and all that. So I guess it made her feel pretty good. But there's no military men that they're aware of in that class. So apparently she was probably talking about the ROTC cadets, which makes this even more of a story, more of a deal for me, is that we've got some young sheepdogs there that didn't go crawl in the closet, and we're actually standing at the doors trying to standing at the gate trying to stop the beast there. So Doc, I know that. I'm 100% with you right there. There's some out there with better triggers and maybe more accurate, but that GP100 is one tough gun. If I was going strictly for trigger and accuracy, I'd get a Model 27 Smith, but there are 28, probably 27. But yeah, I'm 100% with you on the GP100. I've got one, the 6-inch, in great shape. I don't remember where I got that. I think I got that back in '97, maybe. And it hasn't been shot very much either. It wasn't too long after that before I was 100% Glock, but I just never could get rid of my GP100. So, but and Yak, that's exactly why I kept it, and I think I've talked about this before. At Rolex, I liked the Ruger, the Security 6 too. It was a great gun, and the GP100 is not too much different from the Security 6. A little bit in the frame and whatnot, but the reason I kept the GP100, besides for the, I guess, the nostalgia, and you know, I can't hardly get rid of all my revolvers. I've still got three, but I think that the time will come, maybe not in my life, but maybe in my son or my kid's life, that manufacturing will have ceased and magazines and stuff may be hard to get a hold of, and a good tough revolver like the GP100 or the Security 6, something like that, Speed 6, Service 6, any of those sixes that Ruger makes, those things will run practically forever. I mean, I don't think you can, you'd have to just be shooting those things, you know, hundreds of rounds a day for years to ever have a problem with one of them. And I think that that's the one I've put back for worst case. I may not even live to see it, but I want to make sure that my kids know that we've got a couple of revolvers just for that reason. So, and let's see, what was Yakima Glock got up here? Yak, what's that 527 there in Yakima? What caliber is it? What's he wanting for it? There's, it was kind of a tough to say. Well, it made it easier because I still have the 357. If that 44 was my only lever action, I probably wouldn't get rid of it. But I've got the 357, and for a long term, you know, to go with that handgun, that's a great combination. There'll always be ammo around for them, in my lifetime anyway. And the 44, we'll probably find some for a good while. It's not going to just dry up and go away. But there's not going to be as much for as long of the 44 as there is the 357 and the 38 Special. So I think that's the way to go with that. And I pondered and pondered on that 527, whether I ought to get rid of it since I've still got two 308s actually. But finally the 44, like I said, drew the short straw, so we'll talk more about that a little later. Surprised y'all without doing the country music tonight, huh? How you like that?
Another day's at end. Mama says she's tired again. No one can even begin to tell her. I hardly know what to say, but maybe it's better that way. If Papa were here, I'm sure he'd tell her.
Gun Plumber, I'm surprised you don't like our music right there, man. Actually, you picked a night here that's kind of weird because I never ever play rock of any description during our regular shows, so I don't know why I did tonight. But usually it's classic country, so if you like classic country, be sure and join us Friday night. That's when we got 2 hours of classic country music Fridays. So. And by the way, I've never seen you in here before. I'm glad you joined us tonight. If you don't mind putting at least a general area of where you're from, we'd love to hear from you there. Indiana is they've got constitutional carry coming up here. There's a lawmaker in Indiana that has trying to get legislation passed that would repeal the current concealed carry program, concealed carry permit program, in favor of free and lawful unlicensed carry. So there's this is really taking the country over right here. There's I think there's what? There's 7 or 8 states right now, maybe 9, I'm not sure. But there's altogether there's 11 that are either already carrying or in the works. So that we're going to have over 20% of the country with constitutional carry here before too long. And I like this guy from Indiana. He says it's to me it's immoral, and even to me it's immoral, and even it is criminal to force an innocent person to jump through hoops and pay money to the state to prove their innocence and exercise a constitutional right. And that's exactly what we've been telling these people for years. And we're getting more and more lawmakers out there that are getting on board with us. Oh, Ralph, by golly, glad you made it in. I've seen you in here before, and with your, I'm sure you've been in here under your regular name, haven't you, before? It seems like I've seen you in here before. You just come in under a different name now. All right, well, glad you made it anyway. So hopefully we'll see you in here Friday night. Hopefully the computer is going to be running and we'll be able to do that. I'm going to have to do a mass donation drive here and see if I can get this thing upgraded and quit having all these problems. But it's been quite a struggle here for the last week and a half or so with this computer. So far, it's working good tonight, and it worked good Friday night. So, all right, let's see if we can squeeze out one more here. I don't know if you guys heard about the rolling shootout here in Kansas City. 7 people wounded here a few days ago. It seems to be getting to be a regular thing around the country. And we can expect, you keep watching Venezuela. When we keep thinking it can't get any worse, look at Venezuela. They're saying right now that the currency is worth so little that shopkeepers are weighing piles of notes instead of counting them. Apparently this is in several news sources. I'm assuming with the pictures that's with it, I'm assuming that the stories are true. But it said the inflation rate there is expected to reach 720% this year. Yeah, Ralph, I remember, if you're talking to me, I remember you very well. I remember meeting you at the Liberty Tree, and it seemed like I've seen you here on the chat room a time or two under your real name. But at any rate, I may be wrong about that, but I remember meeting you for sure. It says right now the largest bill in Venezuela, the largest, what do they call it, Bolivar bill, is now worth just 5 U.S. cents on the black market. I think it pays to watch and see, spend a little time looking at some of the stories coming out of Venezuela right now. Study this, and I think it's going to help us to see how we that's right, Doc, that's exactly right, is we expect the U.S. dollar to go the same way sooner or later. So I think it would pay for all of us to spend a little bit of time, once a week or so, as often as you think about it, to study what's going on in Venezuela and be able to watch for those signs and see how the citizens over there are dealing with what's been dealt to them there. You know, it may help us out. It will help us out if we spend a little time studying this, I think. There's a lot of things going on in a lot of countries that I think we ought to be watching because we're not far behind them. So, anyway. All right. Well, I'm going to get out of here. This was... I kind of had a trouble getting everything prepared for this show because of computer problems. But it looks like we managed to muddle our way through it. So, I'm going to scoot on out of here before everything breaks down here again. And I'm going to try to get a new hard drive in this thing with everything else we got going on. Christmas coming up and all of that stuff. Well, it may be a little bit. Hopefully we can nurse it through until then. So, all right, I'll see you again Wednesday night. Be sure and join me on Friday at 7 Pacific. Amy will be on, providing the computer's working. Amy will be on at 7 Pacific, and then we'll have Liberty Lounge for 2 hours. So, all right, I'm scooting out here, and we'll see you guys later. Good night. Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. It all.